Very glad to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, I'll be reading verses 1 through 23. You'll recognize some of this as I read part of it last week, and especially answered or followed the answer that Jesus gives to the disciples when they ask, "Why do you teach in parables?" And I especially focus on his answer that comes right in the middle of the parable of the seeds in the soil and his explanation of it. So I'm going to especially concentrate on that parable of the soils today. Listen to God's word. "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Last week I introduced the subject of the parables. Jesus spoke in these very familiar terms in order to communicate the truth of the kingdom of heaven. And that kingdom of heaven, Jesus over and over again proclaims as having come in his person and in his ministry. The parables that begin today and that we'll look at in the coming weeks will take different aspects of the kingdom of heaven and will compare it to very understandable world subjects, things that are easy enough for even children to understand. In fact, in this parable, it's a parable of the seeds, some falling on different types of ground and some growing up and bearing much fruit. That is a very understandable word picture, isn't it? Imagine that some of you children have planted gardens this summer. I know that my daughter Mary especially has planted some things. She especially likes flowers and has a nice little flower garden that is full of blues and yellows and pinks right now. A very pretty garden. That garden is something that she worked at and planted seeds very diligently and watched day by day to see if it would grow. As I said, it's a very understandable word picture. And today, Jesus uses that word picture to teach something very important. The central meaning of this parable is that the kingdom of heaven has come into the world to be received by some, but rejected by others. Therefore, you hear this message of the gospel. Hear and understand. The outline that I'll use today is quite simply the outline that Jesus gives. He uses four different soils to describe four different types of people and four different responses to the proclamation of the gospel. Those four responses actually can be narrowed down even further. In a sense, there are really just two different responses. Those who receive and hear the gospel and understand it by faith. And by God's grace, they grow up like a plant in good ground. The others, for three different reasons that Jesus gives, reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. They do not hear it, they do not understand it, and it bears no fruit. If you think about it, there are probably many more reasons than just three that people reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. But these are three typical ones, ones that we can use as representative and be warned by them. So let's follow the four different soils and the seed that is planted on them. The first seed falls on hard ground. This, Jesus says, represents those who are deaf to his gospel. This ground is so hard that the seed doesn't have any chance at all to get into the ground. And instead, it just lies on top of that hard-packed earth, and the birds come and snatch it away. You might see paths like this if you were to go out onto the OSU campus, and where there are shortcuts across the nice green grass that OSU has planted. Those shortcuts have had thousands and thousands of students' feet walk over them, even just this very semester. And you'll find that nothing grows on a path like that. It is so packed down that even if you put seed on top of it, it just wouldn't grow. Well, Jesus identifies this soil as a person who has a hard heart. We might say that he is deaf to the message of the kingdom. Now, it's not that he's actually literally deaf. His ears work just fine, and if you said hello to him, he would say hello back to you. But his heart is deaf. He doesn't understand the message that is given. The seed, if you were to say it this way, the seed never takes root. And Jesus says that for such a one, the evil one snatches away that seed, and it never bears any fruit. This is a very good place to be reminded of the context in which Jesus spoke these parables. This was part of my message last week, and you will remember that in chapter 12 and in the beginning of chapter 13, we found that Jesus was engaged in something of a controversy with the Pharisees. They thought Jesus to be a wrongdoer. Remember, he cast out demons, and they said, well, he can't be casting out demons by God's power because he has violated the Sabbath laws. He must be casting out demons by Satan's power. Their hearts were hard to the person and work of Jesus Christ. They didn't even acknowledge the miracles that Jesus did. And then they had the gall to come back to Jesus and say, show us a sign. Completely ignoring everything that he had already done. As if that weren't good enough. Show us a sign and then we will believe in you. Their hearts were indeed hard. And Jesus spoke these parables in that context. And one of the reasons that he did so was to reveal the kingdom to those whose hearts were softened by the Lord's Spirit, but to also conceal the message of the kingdom from those whose hearts was hard. And I want you to remember that there is an aspect of the sovereignty of God where He is the one who actually, in judgment, conceals it from those to whom it has not been given. But there's also the side of human responsibility. And Jesus puts both of those two things right side by side. And it's especially the willful deafness of the Pharisees that I want to warn you of today. I want to especially warn you of their responsibility to hear that they did not take up. In a sense, like I said last week, they were ones who plugged their ears so that they wouldn't hear Jesus. And not only did they plug their ears, but just like a little child, when Jesus would try to speak to them, they would go, nah, 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 I'm not listening to you. I can't hear you. Why don't you say something good to us? I can't hear you. They were willfully plugging their ears to the message of Jesus Christ, and their hearts were hard. Jesus, by his authority, calls them to hear. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And by saying that, he holds them responsible for their willful deafness. And since they deliberately chose not to hear that message, then Jesus spoke to them in parables so as to hide the kingdom from them. Let's apply that then to your own situation and our own lives. Because we need to be warned that Jesus does call us to hear. And even as believers in Christ, there are temptations and tendencies towards deafness and specifically willful deafness to the Word of God that I want to warn you about. This can be applied in the saving sense, in the sense of that gospel coming to bring salvation, but it can also be applied in that Christian walk. Much like Pilgrim on his progress from the city of destruction to heaven, there is this life of Christ that we live, and God calls us to hear and to listen. And so one commentator suggests this illustration to help you understand it. He describes a child who sighs and moans and says, oh, I wish I had some ice cream. How I would love to have some ice cream. And his mother comes and says, well, here, have this ice cream cone. And the little child just sighs again and moans and says, "Oh, I wish I could have some ice cream. How I wish I could have some ice cream." All the while ignoring the offer that his mother makes to him. I don't know about you, but I've met people like this. They sigh and they moan, "Oh, I wish I knew the meaning of life. I wish I knew how to get rid of the guilt that I feel so heavy upon me." And as I speak with those individuals, I invite them to come to Jesus Christ, the one who forgives their sins. I invite them to find in Jesus the one who takes that burden off their backs and who promises to accept them and to love them and to forgive their sins. And I ask, do you hear that? Do you understand that? And they sigh and they moan more. "Oh, I wish I could believe. I wish I could have this understanding." And in a sense, they have plugged their ears to the free offer of the gospel. They're deaf to what Jesus Christ has done, and they're willfully deaf to it. God calls you, and He instructs you, and He entreats you, and He does so personally through His Word, and through the preaching, and as you read the Scriptures, and as you have fellowship with other believers, the Lord is calling you. I would urge you then, instead of willful deafness, instead of saying, "Oh, I wish I would know. Oh, I wish I could hear." I urge you to a purposeful hearing of God's Word. To dedicate yourself to read the Scriptures and to search out the meaning of what is given here. To hear and to understand that God calls you to trust in Jesus Christ. And that He calls you to live your life day by day resting in His promises. And He calls you day by day to live out that faith. Do not be disbelieving, but be believing in Jesus Christ. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The second soil is rocky. There's a layer of dirt that has gathered over a rocky soil. It's still deep enough for the seeds to at least germinate and start to sprout up. But that layer of dirt is so thin that when the sun comes out and scorches it, that the plants don't have roots enough to get water. And they just wilt away in that hot summer sun. Jesus identifies this soil as those who hear the gospel and they seem to receive it with joy. They hear about Jesus. They hear about that message and they spring up. But at the first sign of difficulty, they wilt away. Jesus says that when there is trial or tribulation, that it scorches them because there is no root of faith in them. The word superficial has been used to describe this seed. And that's a very good word. It's a word that means dealing just with the surface of things. So think of a thin layer of dirt that might be scattered on a sidewalk or something like that. It has just a surface layer, but no roots can go down very far at all. Once again, maybe you've experienced things like this. in my ministry, I have enjoyed telling people about Jesus Christ, and I've seen people respond sometimes very quickly as they seem to grasp the message of Jesus Christ. They seem to be enthusiastic about following Jesus and even come to church for a time. But then, not long into their relationship, they fade away. Why is this? Well, think of that word superficial, having just a surface, a veneer of Christianity, you might say. And then think back to Jesus' own context. When Jesus preached, and as he taught and as he healed, the Gospels record that there were great big crowds of people that came to hear Jesus. Thousands came even to hear Jesus and to see the miracles that he worked. But over and over again, the Gospels record that not only did these crowds come out, but when Jesus' teachings became hard, like in John 6, Jesus' teaching becomes hard, and it says that the disciples were the only ones that were left following after Jesus. Where did those great crowds go? Well, they left because they couldn't take what Jesus said about the kingdom. They were hard. You might even think about Jesus on those last days before his crucifixion. He went into Jerusalem and was met by a parade in his honor. The inhabitants of Jerusalem flocked out to see Jesus coming in, and they broke off the branches of the palm trees and they laid down their coats in front of him so that the donkey he was on wouldn't walk on the ground. And they shouted so loudly that the whole city is reverberating, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." They're shouting and praising Jesus. And this same crowd you can find in the next days, pointing their fingers at Jesus and saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" What happened? They sprung up quickly and joyfully to follow what they saw as an earthly king, one that would feed them whenever they were hungry, one that would be a victorious king and would lead them to be from out from under the foot of Rome. But when it became plain that Jesus' kingdom and the kingdom of heaven was not what they imagined, they turned away. They were scorched by the heat of that trouble. And ultimately they rejected Jesus Christ. Jesus uses an interesting word. Our English translations say that they fall away. It actually means, a literal translation means that they are scandalized. And that word has in mind that the message that Jesus preached was not exactly what they thought it was. And because it didn't fit their idea of the health and wealth and power that they were looking for, that they were scandalized by the truth that Jesus proclaimed and would not receive it. The message of the kingdom is one of a king and is one of following after the Lord who gives us life and abundant life. But it's not a message of wealth and earthly power. Instead, Jesus promised that those who follow him would encounter hardship and trials. And as the world persecuted Jesus, he said, so the world will persecute his followers. The superficial hearer of the gospel has latched on to something else. And when reality sets in, the hot sun comes and they fade away. Once more, let's apply this to our own setting. And it warns us how we receive the message of the kingdom. I would urge you not to set your heart on the things of this world and attach the gospel to them. The kingdom sounds great, as does a crown of gold and pearly gates. But if you read the scriptures and you attach only earthly blessings to those promises, and there are promises that God makes, if you attach only earthly promises to those, when those trials of the Christian life come, and when the opposition and the conflict of the world against the kingdom of heaven come, you will say, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up for that. And you'll wither away. Instead, I urge you to dig deeper. Understand and apply God's call to your life deeply. Let it take hold and root in your heart. And purposefully set your heart on Jesus instead of the treasures of this world. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. The third type of soil is the soil that is also full of thorns. And as the seed grows up in this soil, so do the weeds and the thorns. And eventually the thorns win out and choke out those little plants. Jesus explained that this soil represents those who receive the message, and the plant grows up, or it seems that there is some response to the gospel, but then the cares of this world choke it out. This is very similar to the soil before, where there was only a superficial or surface gathering of dirt. And instead of persecution, as with the superficial hearers, instead of persecution causing that to drown out, instead Jesus warns about seemingly the good things of this life. The good things of this life that rise up and compete against the gospel message. So, rocky soil, you had trials and persecution that might scorch and cause the plant to wither. Over here, you might have the busyness of a very successful career that rises up and starts to wind around you and can tend to choke out everything else. Jesus calls this the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And he very specifically applies it there to the riches of this life. And I imagine that on one level or another, you have experienced this type of temptation. You can have a lot or you can have a little, and your heart can be bound up with desires for more. In fact, materialism is one of those insidious or creeping evils in the U.S. that seeks to choke out the Christian life. I had opportunity this fall to talk to somebody about how the church is growing in China. And he and I have had opportunity to go and to minister in those countries. And this man, though, was warning about how materialism was quickly rushing in to China, and how he was very worried that the Western view towards money and material things would be like this parable, would flood in to China and choke out a fledgling church. Here in the U.S., it is something that is already grown up and is already around us. You need to recognize the thorns that are around you. If you are more interested in the things of this world, then the novelty of Jesus Christ will at some point wear off. And the novelty of following Jesus will be choked out because of a promotion at work that has swallowed up all of your time. Or it may be that your family becomes comfortable in its level of living and begins to devote more and more time and energy to thinking about the things that you have and caring for them and thinking about what you don't have and what you really ought to have. And thinking about the clothes that you wear and the cars that you drive. And the clothes that your neighbor wears and you think you really ought to be wearing as well. And those weeds just creep up more and more. If you find yourself distracted by those things, it's time to do some weeding. If you find yourself surfing the internet and noticing all of the things that you might be able to buy if you just had a little bit more money, it's time to do some weeding. Jesus calls you to hear and to pay attention. It doesn't mean that clothes and house and car and job have no place in the Christian life. They do. But they are underneath your allegiance to Jesus. And when your work or your income or your appearance and so on come to dominate your life, then you've become distracted from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead, listen to the Word of God. And by listening, all of those things will fall under His dominion. They will take their rightful place as you set your eyes on Jesus. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. The final soil is the good soil. The seed falls on good ground and it bears fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And by the way, this would be more than a bumper crop in Jesus' day. This would be incredible. They would have stood up and listened to a yield like this in the fields of Jesus' day. In this case, the parable represents the person who hears the gospel. Not only hears it, but understands it and responds by faith. Such a person turns to Jesus Christ as his Savior, repenting of his sins and confessing that there is only one hope that he has for eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. And then growing up in this individual is a fruitful, growing, lively faith that bears fruit. You see, as a believer, you're not just delivered from eternal punishment. That's a great thing, but the Christian life is more than that. He has also made you to be fruitful in this life too. You'll find that as you walk along in the Christian life, that the Lord is at work in you, that His Spirit is causing you to put to death the old sins that have tangled in your life. And He is causing to grow up in you these new graces that are fruitful. He causes you to understand how He has made you, and how He has given you different gifts, and how those fit in what He is doing in you and in your community. And you can see your place of work as an expression of your relationship to Jesus. And you can see how your family and the way you raise your children is an expression of your relationship to Jesus. And you'll find that over time, that God will produce these wonderful fruits in you. By God's grace, He has given you ears to hear, and having heard, you followed after Jesus. A little bit later, in verse 37, Jesus says, He's the one who scatters the seed. And in this parable, He calls you to hear. Through the parable, He warns you against rejecting His message, while at the same time inviting and rewarding those who hear. Once more, Jesus brings together both God's sovereignty and man's human responsibility by warning and by saying, He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Jesus, in a sense, asks, what kind of listener are you? And He calls you to believe. You might say, oh, I wish I could know the meaning of life. I wish I could have my guilt forgiven by God. Do you want to hear? Ask God to take away your deafness and cause you to hear the message of life. You might say, oh, I just can't seem to get into it. You know, this was really interesting a couple of months ago, but you know, there's something else on my plate right now, and I've got homework I've got to do, I've got a job to keep up with, and I just really don't have time for this Christian stuff. Do you want to hear? Do you want to go deeper? Then ask God for seriousness. Ask God for diligence to seek out His voice and His word and listen to it. Apply yourself to that. You might say, you know, everything is clamoring for my attention. I just can't seem to follow this. I get distracted so easily. Do you want to hear? Do you feel like you lack focus? Well, ask God. Ask God for clarity. Ask for Him for that sweet Christian grace to be dead to materialism, so that you are not concerned about the deceitfulness of riches in this life. Ask Him to set you free from that choking vine. And you might say, thank you, Jesus, for the life that you give me in Him. Thank you for setting me free from my sins. Help me, Lord, to understand that message and apply it in my life. Help me to understand what it means to be a Christian man or woman. Help me know how that applies to being a husband and father, wife and mother. Let me understand how that relates to doing my schoolwork or working in my job. Lord, I want to have a life of fruitfulness, not just today, but all of my life. Back in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." There is no neutral ground. And so when I say, "Do you want to hear?" there is only one, there are only two responses to that question: yes or no. And the kingdom of heaven has come like the sower scattering seeds. And for some, there's a reception of faith that leads to life springing up. And for others, there's rejection. Maybe because of hardness of heart, maybe because of superficiality, maybe because of distractions, maybe because of a thousand other things. But the message of the kingdom is scattered to you today. He who has an ear, let him hear. Please bow with me in prayer. Lord God, take me as your follower. I pray that you would lead each one of us to pray in a similar way. Lord, I am yours. Redeem me. Use me. Cause me to grow and be fruitful in your kingdom. Lord, we have confidence to pray this because we know that you are a mighty God, one who delights in mercy, one who takes pleasure in forgiving sins, and who is rich in loving kindness. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that we would be fruitful in our lives individually, that we would be fruitful in our lives as a congregation, that we would be fruitful in this world as your servants. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn together in our psalters to respond to God's word. We'll respond by singing Psalm 84b, which speaks of advancing from strength to strength. It talks of pilgrims coming to stand before the face of God, and it has this wonderful imagery of God laying hold of us and leading us throughout all of our lives. He saves us and He causes us to be fruitful. What a great and glorious thing that is. Let's stand and praise the Lord, singing Psalm 84b.